Let us now turn to another subject, another chapter. We'll call this the seven sources of personal security. Consider two ways of judging or valuing another person. First, extrinsic valuing, that is, comparing a person with another or against some external standard. For instance, say Mark is not as good a student as his sister Alice, or that Mark performs at an 85% level and therefore deserves a B+. The value is not in Mark. It lies outside him, that is, in the comparison and in the standard. The second approach we could call intrinsic valuing. Here we say that Mark has value inherent within him. As a person, he has worth apart from his performance, good or bad. If we do any comparing, we compare him only against himself or against his potential. Now, both ways of judging or valuing have merit. We often use both simultaneously. But I suggest the extrinsic way is the most used and emphasized to the person's detriment. Consider this reasoning. From the time of birth, a person belongs to one institution of society after another. Each one values or judges its members. These judgments accumulate and, taken together, label or define who the person is. Consider the various institutions we joined since birth. First, the family. The tendency to compare one child against another is a common practice used by parents. Discipline is often given out on the mood of the moment rather than on well-considered and communicated principles and rules. Individual differences are frequently ignored. Love, acceptance, warmth are often given conditionally, that is, if the behavior meets the expectation or the standard. Judgment and rejection of the person often follows nonconformance. Is there any wonder so many children doubt themselves and feel inferior and inadequate? They feel no value in themselves, only in what they do. And that is subject to the opinions and judgments of others, which are fickle, being influenced by many different forces and standards. No wonder many feel anxious and fearful and live to pretend, to impress. Their lives are buffeted by outside changing forces instead of being anchored by the changeless intrinsic value within. Development of a good self-concept is a vital function of the family. Now consider another institution, the school. Almost from kindergarten, students are compared against each other. If graded on a curve, one gets a B because another got a D, and vice versa. Yet the B student may be a goof-off, a cramming artist with a lot of ability to find and take shortcuts, whereas the D student may be really producing in terms of perhaps fewer talents. Again, no individual differences or potentials are considered when grading on a standard. Generally speaking, grades in school are given on an extrinsic basis, and perhaps this may be the best and most efficient way in terms of many practical realities in our present academic system. But then in this system, what is a grade? A grade becomes more than an indicator of performance. It carries social value. The family and society reward and punish based on grades. Opportunities are given or denied. Most importantly, when love and acceptance are offered or withdrawn on the basis of grades, the academic system itself contributes to this socially rooted self-concept. People are told again and again by various sources, "You are a D person. You are a poor student. You are irresponsible. You are stupid." And they tend to believe these things and thereby justify themselves in their irresponsible, dumb, stupid behavior. They live up to this limited concept of themselves, which acts like a straitjacket on their efforts. Now let's look at other institutions. Generally, in social and economic institutions, worth is given also on the basis of extrinsic value. Often a person's personal worth is equated with net worth. We may be grumpy and disagreeable with subordinates or simply ignore them because they seem unimportant. But when the president of the corporation steps in, our ill dispositions and unpleasant manner suddenly change. Material and social values become terribly important because they represent or symbolize or confer individual value, or so many feel. When we borrow our strength from the label on our shirt, our sweater, shoes, or dress, from our association with the club and in-group, from our position of influence, power, and prestige, from our car, our beautiful house, or other status symbols and trappings, or from our good looks, our stylish clothing, our fashionable appearance, our clever tongue, our degrees, our credentials, we do so in order to compensate for being impoverished and hollow inside. But by doing so, we reinforce our dependency upon these symbols, on living by appearances, on extrinsic values, and we build weakness within. Our theology and our doctrine place great value on the individual, all individuals, and the church teaches these things. We are taught to love the sinner while abhorring the sin. The Lord teaches us that we should leave the 99 and go after the one, that the worth of souls is great in the sight of God. We are taught what we might call a divine definition of oneself. In the book of Moses and the Pearl of Great Price, God explained his relationship to Moses and told him that he was his son and was in the similitude of his only begotten, Jesus Christ. Later, when Satan came in all his power, raging and demanding to be worshipped, Moses, with the correct understanding of who he was able to rebuke Satan and cast him out through the power of Jesus Christ. The universal appeal of the primary song, "I am a child of God," is basically an intrinsic appeal. However, even some of us in the church may use the church in an extrinsic way to judge and reject. The very religion of love can be twisted and distorted by the unloving to justify their own seeming righteousness, to build a refuge among themselves, and to judge and reject all others. The Pharisees were an example of believers who lived and judged others extrinsically. Let me state here that I am not against extrinsic values. They serve useful purposes. For instance, I'm convinced that the free enterprise system with its free market, private property, and limited government concomitants is the most effective and efficient economic system ever developed. Competition in any form of endeavor usually brings the best to the surface. This does not, of course, mean that it is the ideal state. But what I am primarily against is the formation of a person's self-concept on the basis of extrinsic or external values.